You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
On this week's installation of Eurovision, I spoke with our European correspondent Cameron Adams about Ukraine, monkeypox and more. So what updates do we have regarding Ukraine and the war at the moment?
The US has warned of Russian attacks on civilian infrastructure ahead of Ukraine's Independence Day tomorrow. Kiev has also banned any public Independence Day celebrations for fear of attacks. In a rare concession of information on Ukrainian casualties, Ukrainian's Army Chief General Valery Zelutsny has admitted over 9,000 Ukrainian soldiers have died since the war began. Fears continue of the fate of the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, currently under Russian control. On Friday, Putin agreed to allow UN observers access to the plant. However, no visit has yet been made. 17 civilians were killed in a Russian missile attack in Kharkiv last Wednesday night, according to UK monitor Action on Armed Violence. Russian commentator Dario Dugina was killed in a car bomb attack in Moscow over the weekend. It's believed the target was Alexander Dugin, a close Putin ally and nationalist whose 1997 book, The Foundation of Geopolitics, is said to have had a heavy inspiration on the Kremlin and Russia's armed forces. Ukraine has denied it's behind the bombing, with the mysterious insurgent group National Republican Army claiming responsibility. Smoke was seen rising from the headquarters of Russia's Black Sea Navy fleet on Saturday after an attempted Ukrainian drone attack. The Kyiv Independent has released a lengthy report into corruption and abuse inside a part of Ukraine's Foreign Legion, with quotes of foreign volunteers being sent out on a suicide mission and an alleged member of Poland's organised crime network holding a leadership position within the group.
The UK has initiated a dispute process with the EU over research funding. Could you explain a bit what's going on with this?
Tory leader hopeful and current UK Foreign Secretary Liz Truss has triggered formal proceedings against the EU over the UK's lack of access to EU science programmes. As part of the UK's Brexit agreement, access to various EU research programmes were agreed. However, the details have still yet to be finalised. The UK is accusing the EU of dragging its feet on the agreement and in turn denying UK scientists access to various science projects. This has led to several UK researchers having research proposals rejected by the EU or being asked to move to EU-based universities to ensure a continuity of funding. So the UK has agreed to pay £15 billion to Horizon Europe over several years. Horizon Europe is an £80 billion research and innovation programme by the EU to run until 2027. The UK is also at risk of being locked out of Copernicus, the EU's Earth Observation Programme, and Euratom, the EU's nuclear energy research programme. This is all another front in the ongoing dispute between the UK and the EU over Brexit, with the UK proceeding with the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, breaking its Brexit agreement with the EU, which is the UK wanting to remove a customs border between the Northern Ireland and mainland Great Britain. So the EU, in response, has started 5 legal proceedings with the UK, and this will be the UK's first time initiating a dispute over the agreement. The lack of the EU's progress on UK research funding is seen as a response to the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill. So far, this is a 30-day consultation process. If there is no agreement, then it could lead to lengthy legal proceedings and arbitration with the EU. However, given Liz Truss is likely to become the Prime Minister next month, some analysts are predicting the UK will withdraw and create its own funding scheme. The UK has so far committed to match EU funding for science programmes, which have so far kept prized academics to remain in the country. The UK is one of the world's leading countries when it comes to universities and academia, and it's quite keen on keeping them. That said, long term, it could be hard to match the breadth of EU programmes, with scientific progress potentially becoming the loser from this fallout. So yeah, keep an eye on the leadership election next month, and we'll have to see how the UK and EU consultation process progresses.
And it's been a few months since monkeypox arrived in Europe. Can you give us an update on what the situation is currently and what the response has been so far?
From one health crisis to another, the EU is facing increasing criticism over its lack of vaccine acquisition in response to monkeypox. Since May, Europe has been at the centre of the monkeypox outbreak, which the WHO have declared a public health emergency of international concern, which is the organisation's highest level of alert. The EU's Centre for Disease Control has confirmed over 16,000 cases in the EU. Spain is highest with over 6,000 infections, followed by Germany with over 3,000 and France just under 3,000. Spain has also reported two deaths so far due to the virus. The EU's lackluster response in acquiring vaccines for the bloc have given residents flashbacks to its slow acquisition of COVID shots during the pandemic. During COVID, the EU was heavily criticised for its lengthy tender process and buying vaccinations during a health emergency, while other developed countries were able to obtain them much quicker. The EU, not wanting to make the same mistake twice, bought 160,000 doses of the monkeypox vaccine in July. However, that number has proved too low, with less than half being delivered so far. The only approved monkeypox vaccine in the EU is called Imvanex, or Jynneos in the US, and it's only made in Denmark by a company called Bavarian Nordic. This lack of supply has caused individual states to buy their own, with both France and Germany separately ordering 250,000 each. The UK, which is no longer part of the EU, has also bought over 100,000. However, just like the early stages of the COVID vaccine rollout, the actual shots delivered are far lower, with only 40,000 being delivered to Germany so far. Due to a shortage of supply and the high incidence rate amongst men who have sex with other men, this group is prioritised for the rollout. However, I can tell you anecdotally from discussions around Berlin, there is great demand which far outstrips supply. So most of the EU supplies are going to Spain, with Spain saying 80% of the cases are men who have sex with men and only 1.5% in women. There have been various workarounds in response to this shortage. The UK and Germany are only giving one out of the two required doses in an effort to stretch supplies, while the European Medical Agency last week gave temporary approval to lower the vaccine dosage in an effort to inoculate more people. However, in good news, Bavarian Nordic have signed an agreement to also begin manufacturing doses in the US.
And a Hungarian weatherman was fired for a bad prediction. What do we know about this?
Yeah, two of Hungary's top weather presenters have been sacked after their forecasts led to the cancellation of a fireworks display in Budapest. So while no reason was given, Technology Minister László Pálkovics fired President of the National Meteorological Service, Cornelia Raditz, and her deputy, Julia Horvat, on Monday. The fireworks display on Saturday night was to be along the Danube River. However, it was cancelled due to a poor forecast. It's also attracted a petition of 200,000, which were against the fireworks display, citing it was too expensive. Pro-government media have criticised the weather service for its off prediction. So while it's kind of funny, it's probably more of an example of the increasing authoritarian nature of Viktor Orban's government in Hungary. Viktor Orban, of course, has received continued criticism by the EU over his, quote, illiberal democracy.
That was me speaking with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams, on this week's installation of Eurovision.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.